learn how to build your faith on God's Word, and live a life of 100% victory 100% of the time. As you listen to the Senior Pastor, Davis Christian Center, Pastor Kingsley Okunkwo, and expect God's Word to work for you.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I'm so excited about this series. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this series for many reasons, but, you know, and like I said last week, it's not just the fun part for me. It's also because we are hitting at the core of Satan's attack against marriages. You know, one of Satan's major attack against marriages is that men and women are the same. Is that men and women are the same. And it is so bad. He's even using people that are even supposed to be Christians. And people that are supposed to be Christian counselors and Christian therapists to confuse people, you know, to have the idea that men and women are the same. Men and women can never be the same. They were not the same. They will never be the same. That's why last week we started from the scripture that talks about God's work is perfect. He said his work is perfect. All his ways are just. Because that's what they try to tell us. That, oh, this whole thing is not balanced. Why are women submitting? Why are men, who said the men must be the head? They're trying to say it's unfair. Oh, there's nothing God does that is unfair. He said his work is perfect and his ways are always just. Just from justice. Hallelujah. Always just. So if you look at it, everything is balanced. The only thing you can do to something perfect is to make it imperfect. You can't improve on something perfect. Anytime you touch something perfect, you can only make it imperfect. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. So we started to establish that men and women are different. And just like I said last week again, everything I'm going to be sharing with you throughout this month regarding this issue is going to either be backed up by scripture, by even scientific facts, and also by statistics. So there is no escape. Anywhere you want to pass, I have the information here that can help us have the understanding. All right? It was backed up by scriptures, by science, and also by statistics. And I've told you, for the statistics oneself, you don't even need so much data. Just open your window, you will see certain trends already playing out that will help you realize that men and women are not the same. Hallelujah. We said last week, we dealt more with the fact that number one need for a woman is love. And when we say love, their love means taking care of her, showing her care. Okay, love is not just my man is doing me jugu jugu jugu. That's not what love is. Okay, they're talking about taking care of her practically. That's the number one need of a woman, is to be loved, to be taken care of. This is why most daughters are very attached to their fathers. Their fathers are like their first love, because their fathers give them covering. So actually, as a father, the way you will love your daughter is kind of different from how you will love your son. You see, what your daughters will need from you is that affirmation, that covering, all right, that protective covering. That's why for most daughters, you know, their father is their first love. And the ones that didn't have a good relationship with their dad, or their dad absconded or was an absentee father, or didn't even was not there at all, the lady most times grows up with what we call daddy issues, which affects her. If you see a lot of ladies behaving wildly, you know, in their adult age, most times, and I see this as a therapist, most times, there's usually daddy issues. They didn't have that covering of a father. So they grow up feeling not good enough. They grow up looking for love. Some even grow up thinking that their father left because they were not good enough. And that affects how they see love. So number one, a woman's number one need is to be loved. It involves taking care of her and other things, of course. You know, that's the number one need. Now, we said the man's number one need is to be respected. And I've heard people say this is just a cultural issue. I mean, that is that. I'm talking about Christians. I've heard Christians say it's a cultural issue. And I'm wondering, which Bible are you reading? Because we read last week Ephesians 5:33 NIV translation. It said, "Oh, you," it said, "for you men, make sure you love your wives. And say, for you women, see to it that you respect your husband." It's right from scripture. Because they always ask, where did people get it from? From the Bible. Where did you get the one you are saying from? It's from the Bible. Ephesians 5:33. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself. And you, the wife, must respect your husband. Why did God, among all the other principles of marriage, narrow down to tell men? You see, Ephesians 5 is not, it's not God teaching a marriage conference. God was coaching men separately from coaching women. The problem is that we read each other's notes and we're trying to enforce each person to do their own. No, just focus on your own. Wives, God was giving you coaches. Say, look, if you want to always open this man's heart, you want to make him do what you want, you want to make him be happy, and that way he makes you happy. The secret for the man is very simple. He said, respect him. Then he goes to meet the men. He said, look, men, it's very easy. If you want to make this woman happy, just love her. And he explained what he meant by love. Put her first. I mean, really, really care for her. Why did God, with all the millions of principles he could have shared, narrow down to these two things? Very simple. Number one, these are the two major things that will open the ground for other things you want to do. If a woman doesn't feel loved, any other thing you are doing won't make sense. If a man doesn't feel respected, any other thing you are doing won't make sense. Women ask me all the time, why did he leave? Why is he not working? If he doesn't feel respected, he will not be there. So that's number one. Second reason why God narrowed down to these two things is because it's most likely what we are going to struggle to do. A woman's biggest struggle is to respect a man. I'll explain. And a man's biggest struggle is to show love. Why? Because in our natural makeup, these two principles are the hardest things for each sex to do. Let me explain. For a woman needs to respect who she loves. I need to catch this. She needs to be able to look up to the person she loves. She finds it hard to separate the two. If she doesn't respect you, she can't love you. And if she doesn't love you, she can't respect you. So she wants them to be together. That's how her mind works. So God is saying, look, when you marry this man, you're going to find out he's not perfect. And women have the gift of perfectionism. Most women have it. They have a way they want things to be. They've painted these pictures all their lives. There's a way they expect their husbands to be. Sometimes those images come from movies, come from musical videos, come from all the cartoons they've watched, come from even sometimes their own parents' marriage. She has seen her dad, how her dad was a great provider, how her dad was strong, you know, and all those kind of things. So the moment she marries a man, finds out the man thinks way slower, find out a man reacts slower, find out that this man is not as great as the men she's admiring, her biggest challenge will be to still respect the man. So God was saying, look, the secret is this. Give that man unconditional respect. He won't always behave respectfully, but you make sure you are always, he will always behave respectably. You make sure you are always respectful to him. All right? So it's a woman's biggest challenge. Respecting and submitting. She thinks faster. She thinks way faster. It's a big drag for her. Look, why? For God to be telling a woman to respect a man, it means he's lacking. There are obvious things God did not tell a woman. God never told a woman to love a man. A woman would do that naturally. It's the respect part that is hard for her. It's the respect part. Let me explain. If I'm clueless as regards information technology or I'm clueless as regards Facebook, I'm totally clueless. If I am working with Mark Zuckerberg, submission will be the easiest thing because he's smarter than me. I know nothing. So you even need to tell me to submit. Even me, I will submit willingly. You see, but the only time you need to advise me to submit is if I come there and I'm actually more knowledgeable than him about it, I will find it hard to submit to somebody I feel I'm better than. That's what women are facing. Most women, because of the way their mind, God created them, their minds work faster. Women are more dynamic. Women are incredible. I've shared this many times. Women cheat as much as men. Just like women cheat smarter. Men can't even know. Women are too smart. That's what I'm saying. Women are just sophisticated. So, by the time they marry a man and come up close, they'll find out that this man is too slow for me. They will now struggle to respect him. And that's why God gave them that advice specifically. He says, submit to him and respect him. Men, on the other hand, same challenge. Same challenge. A man's biggest struggle is to love. Why? Because a man, all his life, grew up dealing with inanimate things. Inanimate things. See, when a child is young, as he's growing, he's playing with gun, playing with truck, playing with ball. Nothing human. On the other hand, the lady is growing with dolls, doing kitchen, building house, everything human. This will even lead me to my next topic of today. So the man is very inanimate. He doesn't know how to love. Men don't need affection kind of love. Men want friendship kind of love. In fact, there are too many things. I hope I'm not pumping too many things, you know. In fact, the place in the Bible where God actually says women should love men, the love there is not the same kind of love we all think. The love there is filio, it's friendship love. That's in Titus chapter 2. Titus 2, I think 3 and 4. They say, let the older women teach the younger women, because of experience, let the older women that have married for a while teach the younger women how to love their husbands. And that word love there is filio, is friendship love. So they found out that the love men need is not romantic love. Men need friendship love. So that's what they're saying. Filio is friendship, brotherhood. That's what men need. Men need camaraderie. Men need my guy. So they're saying men are not natural, affectionate, or emotional beings. What men see as love is friendship, my guy, my paddy. They did an experiment. Like I told you, I'll give you science, give you statistics, give you anything you're looking for today. They did an experiment. They threw both young boys sometimes and sometimes. They did young men. They threw them into a room. Just left them to just hang out. They were monitoring them by camera and all that. All the men naturally just sat side by side. They didn't sit face to face. They sat side by side. That's shoulder to shoulder love. That's friendship. That's what men need. That's why stools on a bar are usually positioned like that. It's a stool. Men sit facing front, not facing each other, but being side by side. Women, on the other hand, want to connect face-to-face love. So when they threw girls and women there, the same thing happened. They just turned the chairs to face each other and began to talk. They need to connect. You see, the kind of love both of them need is different. I can stand here and give you 100 differences between men and women without even thinking. There are too many. So where do these people get this satanic agenda to keep saying men and women must be the same? They're trying to set the same goalpost. The more they set the same goalpost, the more unhappy all of us will be, because the goalpost can never be the same. Is somebody getting what I'm saying tonight? Hallelujah. So I forgot what I was trying to say. So I was talking about love and respect. Yes. So it's not easy for a man to love. That's why God had to specify them. Look, love your wife. Learn to put her first. Because men are naturally selfish. Women are naturally selfless. So God didn't bother to tell women, love your husband. A woman will lay down her life. A woman will sacrifice for her family any day, any time. But men need to learn it. Men need to learn it. It's something men need to learn specially. So God emphasized it. Oh, we always share this story. If a woman gets home and there's one plate of food in the house, and she has a family, husband, children, she will think about how, she won't eat that one, she will keep it, and she will think of how to get more for everybody. If a man gets home and there's one plate of food in the house, the man will first eat it and be cracking the bone. Then now call his wife, say, there's no food in the house. Sometimes he won't remember to call. A man will first take care of himself. He's not used to being selfless. He's first used to being selfish. Why? When he was made in the garden, he was alone for a long time. He was not used to having somebody else with him. He was alone for a long time. So he was used to taking care of himself alone. From day one that Eve came, there was somebody else to take care of. Eve was a helper by nature. That's why she was even created. So she's used to giving. Man is used to taking. So that's what Ephesians 5 was trying to solve. So let's settle that. It's there in the Bible. It's not a cultural issue. Because those guys always say it's a cultural issue. It's African culture. No, most of my coaches are white people. Most of my mentors are white people. I'm certified. I'm a presidential member of counselors in America. I'm certified anyway you want to think about it. So go and rest. I'm not telling you culture. I'm telling you what happens to men anywhere in the world. Those guys all say the same thing. That men want respect. And this respect doesn't mean carousel. That's not necessarily what it means. It's honor. Men do things for honor. That is why. In Ephesians 5, the Bible said the man should take care of his wife and be the savior of her, of the body. You see, be the savior. That's talking about be the hero. Men need to feel important. Men need to feel like a hero. This is what I was telling women. Don't emasculate men. Don't start telling them you can't be the head. Let's all be equal. A man will back out of the marriage. He has no business doing something if he doesn't see a task in it. If he doesn't see responsibility in it. Men won't do it. Men are doers. Women are okay with just gisting. Men need to do. So if you remove the task, the only task God gave him from it, you will see less marriages, which we are seeing, and more divorces. More men walking out. Because he's not going to sit there and do nothing. He's not. He's a doer. And God was clear. God told him, be the savior of the body. So in the ending of this message, I will talk about this again. A man needs to see his marriage and see making his wife happy as a mission. That's the only way he'll be a good husband. If he doesn't see it as a mission, he will see her as a distraction. That's it. That's a moment for you there. If a man doesn't see making his wife happy as a mission, he will see it as a distraction. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. He needs to see making his wife happy. That's what I try to do in counseling with men. I want to help them see that making your family happy is very important. He needs to attach it to like a task like any other task that he does. Men are project driven. Thing stops. He doesn't call you again. This man used to call you morning and night. He used to text you morning and night. The moment you have agreed, he stops calling. He's busy. What happened? He has lost motivation. He is a hunter. He's a chaser. He's a project manager. He likes projects. When project is over, he's demotivated. Even him can't explain why he's so demotivated. So instead of, he will go and chase on that project altogether. May not be another woman. Oh, I hope somebody's getting this. Let me try and move. All this is intro. I've never started today's message. But I hope it's blessing someone. I can't hear you. I say, I hope it's blessing someone. Hallelujah. All right. So men need to see it, you know, as a vision. So that's why God specifically gave that advice. He actually talked to both of us in the area we will struggle. That's why he spoke that. If not, he would have just gave random advice. No. He would, like I said last week too, you will never see God giving men and women the same advice in marriage. Never, never, never. Everywhere he speaks to them differently. Everywhere. Because their roles are different. And that's what the satanic people are, or satanic agenda is trying to push. That the roles are, there are no gender roles. There are no gender roles. If women too are going to work, men too should wash pots. And of course, I'm not saying men should not help at home. Oh, definitely. I help at home. So I'm not saying that at all. I'm just trying to attack a mentality. It's a mentality I'm after. Because where Satan is going with it is that the moment he said there are no roles, he will emasculate men. He will make men not feel like men anymore. Men will not marry. Homes will be destroyed. That's what will happen. All right. Let's move a bit further. You know, like I said, I can give you 100 off of my head, and you can check the statistics to back up all the scientific and scriptural facts I'm giving you. For starts, just open your, let me give you one quick one. Watch musical videos. You see that what men display in musical videos and what women display in musical videos are different. Why? Because, see, the end point is always the same, but the way to get there is never the same. So, I've told you last week that the reason why men want money and why women want money different. Men want money for power. Power. Men know that nobody will respect them in this life. I told you men do everything for honor, for respect. Nobody will respect them in this life without money. So in musical videos, men use the power of wealth. So what do men do in musical videos? They wear big chain, gold chain. They spray money, dollars. They buy champagne. Expensively, they drive Rolls Royce. None of those things are their own. But that shows you what is going on in his mind. Nobody, as a therapist, we know that nobody does anything for no reason. There's always a reason behind every action. There's always a thought behind every action. Why are men spraying dollars in musical video? Why are they wearing big gold chain? Why are they drawing Rolls Royce and champagne? Why is he not just walking on his road in his BQ? In his BQ apartment, that is one room, one parlor, and the toilet is small. Why is he not just there singing from his heart? Because that's not what men do. Men need power. So they show power. Women, on the other hand, what do women do in musical video? I'll show you. This is what women do in musical video. They use seduction power. It's the same power, but women don't come and spray money. That's not what women do in musical videos. Women show, you said, it's power. It's still power. Seduction power is not less than money power. Yeah. It's not less, it's just different. There are places seductive power we enter that money can never enter. They are not the same. And there are places seductive power can never enter. It's only money that we enter. You like shake or you somersault. Somersault with your bumbum. Yeah. What do women do? If this is a nightclub, If women want to get attention here, what do? They wear skimpy clothes. Simple. You see the clothes women wear today. We went to an event last Sunday. Oh boy. Some people didn't wear cloth. They didn't wear cloth. The cloth they forgot at home. They forgot their cloth at home. Taylor didn't deliver it. Because those clothes are not clothes. But that's how women get attention. That's the only way women get attention. No cloth. No cloth. They just came out. Everywhere open. No nothing. That's how women get power. Now imagine a nuisance man. Now come without shirt. and wear pants. What will happen to him in that place? Security, there's a lunatic, there's a mad fool here. They will carry him up like this. They will even bring him from the cell. They will throw him from the window to the basket, direct. And you say men and women are the same. Nothing, isn't that work for a woman can never work for a man. Isn't that work for a man can never work for a woman. Need to understand this. Okay, let me try and move into today's one because I've used all my time to do introduction. This introduction, like I said, there are too many points. And they're all jamming. But let's move forward. So, my point for today. And the whole idea of this is not just to give you information. It's not just to have fun. The point is that I'm trying to show you how it relates to life and how it relates to relationships. Well, if you are not married or you're not even in a relationship, so you need to know how it works generally. Those of you that are married, you need to learn how it relates to your marriage. One of the things here again is that men are rugged, women are refined. Men are rugged, women are refined. Men came from dust from day one. When God was going to make man, he made him from dust. Do you understand? Do you know dust? Dust. Sand. When God was going to make a woman, he made her from a rib. They said the rib is one of the most polished bones in a human being's body. So even the raw materials we were made with were not even the same. Not only that, even the process of making. The Hebrew word that they use for make, for man, I think it's yatsa also. The Hebrew word there talks about squeezing to make. So it's like the way they play with mud. You know, when you are making a clay pot or so, you know, you are squeezing that mud. They said that's how they made man. So they squeezed it. The Hebrew word for made, for man, in Genesis 2, when they said God made man, it was different. Then the one for woman in Genesis chapter 2 is different. The word make, that's the process. The word make for woman is, I think it's Asha or so, I can't remember now. But it talks about, you know, making something skillfully. Making something very skillfully. So men are rugged, women are refined. 1 Peter 3 confirms the same thing. It says, treat your wives according to knowledge as the weaker vessel. That word weaker doesn't mean she's inferior. That word weaker in the Greek there means delicate. And women truly are delicate. This doesn't mean they are not strong. They are just delicate. I gave the example last week that is like on the Island Church. That is like your 3310. Those days, some of you are too young to know what 3310 is. It's one old Nokia phone that was. It's both a torchlight, a weapon of attack and defense. It's that phone. You can use to break coconut if you don't have what. That phone is solid. If you fall from 30 floors down, all you need to do is go down and pack it. It will still work. Everything will work. It just joins again. So compare that phone to a new iPhone 13. If iPhone 13 even fall from your hand as you are standing on the ground, you might not recover it. Is somebody get what I'm saying? So that's what they mean. Not that she's actually more loaded than the man, but she's delicate. She's refined. Women are refined. How does this apply to your marriage? This means you must always give allowance for your wife. Things like dressing up to come to church or going out. She needs more time to dress up than you as a man. She's refined. You need to give her more money every time you share money. If you share money in the house, give her more. Her maintenance, way more than that of a man. What does a man need to barb his hair? 50 naira, 100 naira. I don't know how much you're barbing hair now. 100 naira or something like that. Just barb his hair. One touch. And that will last him for weeks. Hallelujah. That will last him for weeks. One touch. For a woman, on the other hand, 100 naira, 50 naira is just, it doesn't even do anything for a woman when it comes to hair. Even the transport to the place where she will make the hair cannot be less than 1,000 or 3,000 naira. Then you will start buying. They'll go, they'll touch the hair. Then they'll come back, they will retouch the hair. Two times. They have to touch it two times. Tam, tam. Touch and retouch. Then she has to buy a wig. Some of those wigs. Some of those attachments. Some of those. All these things have to go on. Sometimes she will first plate the one under to wear the one on, coming on top. Wow! Let's go to soaps. Men need only one soap. One green soap. Bar soap. That same green bar soap is the same soap he used to bath. He used to wash his clothes. He used to wash his car. He used to wash his plates. One soap. National is what men need. Women, on the other hand, the soap for face. My wife punishes me. She will come and say, you must wash your face. You go and bring separate. There's soap for face. There's soap for neck. There's soap for body. Different. All different. There's soap for hand. And when you finish, and soap for head. All different. When you finish, you think you have escaped. No. You will not start creaming. There's hand cream. There is face cream. There is my brother, for men, all cream is cream. It can be with palm oil or granite oil. All cream is cream. And even to even challenge these people trying to deceive humans that men and women are the same, even marketers know. Marketers know that men and women are the same. Because marketers, when they're selling soap for men, you will see, you wear Head and Shoulders. So they have soaps that a man can, liquid soap that a man can use for both to wash his hair and to bath. They know men don't have time. But you will hardly see female product that will tell you Hair and Shoulder, that you will use the same soap for your hair. You see, use for your body. Female product, never. They know women are refined. Are you here, somebody? So you must budget for a woman. Shoe, you want to buy a shoe. All men need is one black shoe. One black shoe, he wear with suits, wear with jeans, wear with native. One black shoe to look like a boot, but it's not fully a boot. One black shoe, wear with everything. For women, blue is not even blue. There's blue, then there's turquoise blue, there's sky blue, there's how many blue? There are the orange blue, light blue, different blue. Only blue. Then after that blue, after the many numbers of blue, then you now have blue open toe, blue flat, blue high heel. Only blue wedge. Only blue. We never even go red. This is why your budget for clothing and for maintenance for a man and woman can never be the same. Those who have kids, as your kids begin to grow, you find out that the money you give your daughter must be the money you give your son. Men use money for something different than women use it. That's what you need to realize. Hallelujah. Would everyone want to enter makeup? Let's not even start. Glory to God. So, women are refined, men are rugged. This is why a man can be smelling his boxers after 5 days to see if he can wear it one more day. Men don't laugh, just keep straight face so that they will know it's you I'm talking about. Men can rock their boxers. It's okay, I can rock it one more day, two more days. They wear one boxer for 10 days. A woman changes her underwear every day, sometimes twice even in a day. She's so refined. She's so touche by nature. Now, I know there are exceptions. I said this last week, there are always little exceptions. There are some dirty women we know, but that's not the norm. Because somebody say, I know I'm getting cool down. I know there are exceptions in every rule, but when you look at the bulk, that is the bulk we're using in statistics. There will always be one exception. It's the bulk we're always looking at. Because when I say men are logical, women are emotional. Say, I know my man is not cool down. That's not the bulk. Okay? All right. So when we go shopping in my own house, I always give my wife more money. I always allow her more time. When we're praying for church, I tell her, look, we wake up 5 o'clock, but you wake me 6 o'clock. She needs to wake 5 o'clock and start preparing. Once she wake me, I just jump from there into bathroom. I don't even dry my body. As I'm drying, I'm dressing. She say, why are you? Your body's not even dry. I say, it will dry on the road now. It's not just dry, but it will dry inside the car. That's how men think. A woman, you will first dry her body. Then you start creaming. Like if it's what's that advert? Hey, there's one advert. Is it Joy or Lux? No, that advert, they don't start creaming leg. That's how women do. Men, it will dry the heat. Sun, we cream us by heat. We have natural oil inside men. Men are rugged. So let me get to today's one. Oh, was intro. I've done 1 hour. Okay, I'm not sure how long, but let me just round up by saying this. Today's one, I want to really deal with the fact that women are relational. Or let me say it this way. Women are family-oriented and men are work-oriented. This is important. Because I'm about to start rounding up. This is important. Women are family-oriented and men are work-oriented. Women are family-oriented, men are work-oriented. I need to sound this well. Women are family-oriented and men are work-oriented. Women are relational. Men are work-oriented. This is important for you, even if you're a young girl here, even if you're single, even if you're married. This is important for you. As a woman, don't let anybody make you feel bad for being relational or family-minded. It's how you were made by the Almighty God. Stop letting these social media people, stop letting these confused therapists try to tell you to start competing or fighting with a man in the workplace. Of course, you can rise to as much as you want. In fact, women are better managers. Our Nigerian banks are still learning that now. So a lot of bank managers today are female. So in terms of the work, women are better. But your goalpost, don't be confused about your goalpost. You don't have to forfeit one for the other. So women are family-oriented. Men are work-oriented. How do I get that? It's right there in scripture. Genesis chapter 2. The Bible said, when they formed Adam, the first thing God gave Adam was work. The first thing God ever gave Adam, after he created him and planted him on the earth, the first thing, look at this, and the Lord God took the man that he just made and put him in the garden to do what? To dress it and to keep it. The first thing God gave man was work. That is why tomorrow most men's first love is their work. You can't separate a man from his work. That's where he gets his sense of identity. That is his love. That's his first love. Women don't understand that. That's his first love. That's the first thing they gave a man. On the other hand, the first thing they gave a woman was a husband. The first thing Eve ever got when she landed on the earth was a husband. That's the first thing she got. So till tomorrow, for women, family life is very important. It can never be taken from them. So women get their esteem from family life. Men get their esteem from work. It doesn't mean men will not want work. It doesn't mean women will not. It doesn't mean men will not want family. It doesn't mean women will not want work. But they get a lot of their esteem. So when women meet, when you meet your old classmates, this is how it plays out. When the men meet, they say, "Hey, Kingsley, long time, man. Never see you since school. You know, long time. How are you doing?" The next thing is, what do you do? This is what men do. What do you do? You say, "Hey, I'm just looking for work." He's not going to call your number. He's not going to ask for your number. He's trying to avoid you. You're a liability. You are not the kind of people he's looking to connect with. He said, "I don't have work." No, men are in, they classify themselves by what they do. So what are you doing now? So I'm into oil and gas. Say, which type? Is it palm oil and cooking gas? Which type? So I work with Chevron. I work with Mobil. So, Mobil, I have a friend there. Yeah, good. Give me your number. Where do you stay? This is what men want. They classify themselves by the work that they do. Women, on the other hand, you meet your old classmates. First question is, are you married? Linda, how are you? Good to see you. Are you married now? And ask women here. They are ashamed to appear in places like that if they feel all their mates are married and they are not married. A woman that is unemployed will not mind going and say, "Hey, I'm looking for a job, but my husband is helping me." She's not her. She's okay. A man can't go there and say, "I'm married, but I'm jobless." He's ashamed to do that. He would rather say, I have a great job, but I'm not married. And amongst men, that's not a bad thing. If other men will invite him and say, "Yeah, you're free now. That means you can stay here till tomorrow. You're not even rushing home." Men don't see that as a bad thing. But let the lady go there, and all of them are in their 40s, all of them in their late 30s, and she appears with her classmates, and she's 38, but she's a banker. She says, "I'm a top banker. But you're not married." Women won't value you. That's good for you. They'll pity you. You're even a prayer point. If it's a man, 38, he's a top banker. I say, "Oh boy, you are cruising. You're living the life." That's what men are celebrating you. The goalpost is not the same. Don't let anyone deceive you. And it's reality. So, when women meet, it's, "Are you married now?" If you're married, next question is, "How many kids do you have?" And women always have the picture of their children. You don't ask a man for a picture of his children. He doesn't have. He doesn't even know how many children he has. How many kids we have? Say, "Money, how many kids?" He doesn't. You're not going to ask him their age. He has no clue. He just knows the amount of school fees, because that one pains him. But women know the class of their kids. They even know the teacher's names. They know the teacher's names. Those are strange things in the world of men. You even know the school. How much my teacher's name? I know DCC men are different. Our church men are different. But that's what I'm trying to say. So the woman say, "Oh, how many kids you have?" Then they're showing each other a picture. "Oh, this is my firstborn, baby. See, he's so cute. Hey, this boy is so tall. She's so..." This is what women are doing. Because that's where they get their strength from. I know there's not all women. Because I know one woman doesn't care. And calm down. This is the power bulk of women think. And it's not a bad thing, because you were made family-oriented from day one. Somebody said, "How do I know?" Again, let's go back to scripture again. I've told you from beginning how they are made. Now, even see when they ate the fruit. See when Adam and Eve ate the fruit and the consequence was going to come. God in his wisdom spoke to them directly regarding where to pain them. See what he told the man? That from now, because you have eaten of this fruit, he said, "You will now sweat to till the ground." Look at this here. "And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened," Genesis 3:17. "Because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, thou shalt not eat of it." He said, "Now you cursed is the ground for thy sake." See, God went straight to work. He said, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake." He said, "In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of your life." Went straight to talk to man about work. He said, "Now work is going to be hard, because that's what you love." Next verse. He said, "Unto the woman," I told you God never says the same thing to men and women. I told you that. He said, "Unto the woman," he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception," family. He said, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth what? Children, family. He said, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he will rule over you. You will become so incredibly, you know, crazy about family life and about your husband, to the point that the man can even take advantage of you. He said, that's what will happen to you. And I'm a counselor. I'm telling you, these things are happening live. Talk to the woman about family. Talk to the man about work. It's all there in scripture. And I will give you science. I will give you statistics, like I said. But it's all there. So, women are family oriented. Men are work oriented. Everything was going beautiful. Hunky-dory, as they say it. Until civilized people started saying, why should women sit at home? Now, some of it too was circumstances. Things became harder economically for most families, even anywhere in the world. So women needed to start working. Before now, families had more peace. Not that they were perfect, but they were way better than what people are experiencing today. Families had more peace. Because then, the women stayed at home to take care of kids, take care of the home. And the men went to work. And when the man gets home from work, the woman is so happy to see him. Hey, honey, welcome. And he feels like a hero. He just went out there to fight, to hustle, to take care of his family. He feels like the savior of the body. Remember Ephesians 6, 5. He feels like the savior of the body. He feels he's doing something great. So he comes home and his wife says, oh, welcome, my husband. Those of you that have watched by Moonlight or any of this African magic, you understand the setting. Welcome, my husband. Hey, how was farm today? He'll say, if you see how many palm trees I caught, he feels like a hero. Or how many bush meat I kill today. He feels like a hero. How many fish he caught in the river. He feels like a hero. And they collect all the things he came with. Say, yeah, sit down, my darling. They give him water. He drinks cold water. Say, thank you. What do you have to eat? He said, I made your favorite food. And this was romance. The woman was happy. The man, every day the man came home was a miracle, because he could have died. One wild animal could have killed him. Something could have happened to him, but he came back successful. He came back with fruits, came back with yam, came back with bush meat. They lived happily ever after. Until civilization and confused therapists came and said, women should not be like that. That a woman's place should not be in the kitchen. Of course, yes. Women are more skilled. They can do war. You see, hey, there's many things. This is part of the reason why God made women to multitask. I'll probably talk about that next week. If I enter it today, it will be taken out from where we're going. Let me try and round this up here. Because most times a woman can do her work and help with a man's work. I'll talk about that next week. I don't want to go into that today. So they said the economy became hard. Then women had to work most times. Women had to find fulfillment. They were educated women, independent women. So they started working. And that's not bad, ordinarily. Ordinarily is not supposed to be a bad thing. But now the challenge, the consequence, like I said last week, there are consequences to some things. Not necessarily good or bad, it's just consequence. There are consequences to that. So what now started to happen? Listen now, I'm about to round up. This is the catch. What now started to happen was that women will now go to work the way the man went to work. They will both come back home. They will both come back home. And the man will come, and now he wants to sit down like the way his father will just come back home, and after he had this work, sit down and watch TV or sit down and expect his food. So this new man, that his own wife too, went to work in Lagos traffic with him. They both enter the house. He sits down on the car like, hey, what a day. And the wife is saying, what's new you? We both went to work. My friend, stand up, Joe. Come and help me to cook in the kitchen. Or go and carry. You know, she's wondering, why is this man this lazy? Why is he just sitting here doing nothing? We both went to work. What is special about the work you went to? I went to work too. She stopped seeing the man as special. Remember what God told her in Ephesians 5 was to respect and reference this man. That's going to be hard because me and you went to work. Sometimes she's even earning more than him. That one is even the worst. Because women always ask me, why do men run away from girls that have money? Because you can't save a girl that is richer than you most times. So that man would rather go and marry a poorer person than him, where he can still be the savior of the body. This is what men want. This is how God created it. This is why your civilization, it sounds nice to the ear, but it's causing you bigger pain. I didn't make any of these things. These are just facts. So she's finding it hard to see that man special. That was because you went to ordinary work. We both were in traffic. We both woke up early to go to work. Why should I get home and start cooking for you again? Why should I go home and do the children's homework? So he no longer sees the man as important. No longer sees the man as something special. The man begins to feel less and less of a man in his house. That's the impact. It's impacting the family system. You see, and the reason is like that, men and women are different. The way a man walks and the way a woman walks is different. The capacity they both have is different. And on the other hand, it's not favoring the woman either. Because these are the things they won't tell you. It's not favoring the woman either. All the people and the feminists, remember I told you what I mean when I say feminists, I'm not talking about the dictionary definition of feminism. I'm talking about these mad ones just causing trouble. What the feminists will not tell you is the impact of this campaign they are teaching you. That's what they won't tell you. It's affecting women also negatively, massively. Because the woman has gone to work. God physically. I told you last week, he fabricated us for our functions. Men are physically stronger, not just physically stronger. God created men to deal with stress differently. A woman was created physically fragile or more delicate. And how her emotions function is different. So let me explain. In the workplace, men are dealing with deadlines, emergencies, hustle. Those things release testosterone in men. That testosterone reduces stress in men. So men don't mind those deadlines and hard work and hustle. Men even brag about it. Oh boy, I was in traffic 10 hours yesterday. And I still went to work. Men brag about it. I slept in the office. Because work, we get our esteem from work. We don't run from work. When men are complaining about work, this bragging is not complaining. At least 6 hours presentation. Standing on my foot. This one kill me for here. I find Craig. They are happy. That is not complaining. It's bragging. Because you would rather have that work than no work. So in the world of men, that's bragging. I slept in the office for 3 days. I no bath. They say, oh boy, you're a bad guy. They are happy. Because work, we get our definition from work. As we are working and meeting deadlines, meeting emergencies, our testosterone is increased, and that keeps us going because we are hunters by nature. We are project driven. This is what we like. We like emergencies. Even my wife doesn't understand. Even me, at the time, I didn't understand. I started learning this thing. When I'm stressed, I want to take more work. When I'm stressed, I want to take one more counseling job. I want to take one more preaching. Because the more I preach, or the more I counsel, the more I solve a problem, I feel better. I feel better. So this is why men use work to deal with work stress. More work. Take on a new campaign. Take on a new challenge. It helps us. It's not good for a man not to work. I don't have time to go into that today. This is why men get depressed quickly when they don't have what they're doing. Because as you don't have what to use testosterone for, your testosterone supply in your body is reduced. And when it's reduced in men, it causes, this is where prostate cancer comes from. This is where depression comes from. All these things are scientific. Like I told you, I'll give you science and stats. So you go and check all these things yourself. Okay. Now, on the other hand, for women, when women are dealing with traffic, deadlines, emergencies, on their own end, it's also sending them a stress hormone. It's increasing their stress. Now, when a woman, they call it cortisol or something like that, when a woman's stress is released or is increased, it is affecting her immune system. So she's dealing with the same deadlines, the same hustle, the same standing for hours, the same traffic, but it's not having the same effect in her. Her body was not structured for that. What releases her own feel-good hormone that eradicates stress for her is called oxytocin. All right? What makes that one come out is family life. Now, this is scientific stuff. So I didn't write it. I'm not this smart. It's the things you can check out. What helps her to release or relieve stress is oxytocin. And oxytocin has been found to flow when she feels loved, when she sees babies or children and feels she's doing family work well. That's why if women go to the hospital or go somewhere and see another woman with babies, you see that they all gather and say, oh, cute baby. It's releasing a feel-good hormone in them. They are all feeling good. 10 women can gather that woman and be asking questions and be saying, oh, how old is she? They are all, what are you using for her cream? What are you using for her face? If men see baby, they are running. Because it's bill. They see baby as problem. That's how men see it. It doesn't relieve our stress. It increases our stress. Because somebody's going to need to carry that baby. Somebody's going to need to feed that baby. We don't want that stress. It might even say it's your baby. We don't even want. But if women see other women with babies, they don't care who they never met before, they will gather around her. Oh, tell me, what is she? Is she a boy or a girl? How do you? They said that seeing the baby, that breastfeeding actually helps them. Helps their own body, releases oxytocin to them. It's a feel-good hormone, and it helps their life. when they feel love, when they have good family home. So you see that as they are pushing you women to go walk like men, the goalpost is never the same. So more women are depressed and dying now. They say women used to live longer than men, but they say the number is crashing because more women are working harder than men or as men. This is serious stuff. So women are endangered for two things now. Stress is increased at work. No oxytocin, no feel-good hormone because they are stressed at work. They even get home. They get home and number one, the husband doesn't have their time. He too is working. He's stressed. He doesn't have time to love her. Then second reason, she's also stressed. Even at home where she should feel good. She comes home and feels she has not spent time with her kids. This happens to my wife too. Because of how crazy our schedule is. She's always telling me, my wife's always unhappy when somebody else is doing homework with our kids. You see, me, I don't care. I'm happy somebody is doing homework in that case. I'm glad. If I do the homework, we will all fail. See, but on the other hand, she's always bothered. Oh, I wish I could do more homework. But you see, she has left the work now, beat the traffic, got home, but even at home where she should feel good, she's not feeling good because she feels she's not doing the home things that will really... That home thing is what makes a woman's oxytocin released. That's what makes her happy. When she feels her family is put together. When she feels she has a hang and a handle of her family life, of her kids, of her husband, of how she wants her home to be. It makes a woman feel good. So my husband says, oh, I wish I could do more homework with these people. See, my son is not reading as fast as he should be reading. If I was one doing with him, I would feel good. So it happens to most women. And these are statistic stuff. They say, some of these are big corporate women. This is their pain. They all feel. Is it mommy guilt? Or they have a name they call it. I can't remember now. It's mommy guilt, yeah. That they feel they're not being there for their kids. They're not being there for the family. Name of money. A woman any day will gladly throw away work to go and spend time with her family. A man will gladly throw away family to go to work. This is why we have many men in cities like Abuja, Port Harcourt. Their families are not there. They will gladly leave the family and go stay work. A woman will gladly resign her job to go and stay with her family. Hey, statistics show these things. Men will gladly leave their resign from their family to go and stay at work. Because we get our sin from it. So, this woman feels stressed at work, meeting emergency and deadline hustle that men did. And men are getting testosterone to support their own, to make their own happy. She's not getting that, so she's stressed at work. She gets home that she should get replenished. She's not getting replenished because she's back to a deadline. The deadline she met in the office, or she had to deal with in the office that stressed her, you thought if she gets home, she'll feel better. No, she gets home too and feels the same. That deadline, because she got home 8 o'clock, the kids are going to sleep by 8:30. She has a deadline to quickly check their homework, check their uniform, check their food. She feels she doesn't have control of family, so her stress still stays up. Then the husband that should help her, that man too doesn't know anything about marriage. He's angry. He's frustrated too. So he's not also loving her. So she's frustrated by the man, frustrated by her family, frustrated by her work. So women's stress levels are at an all-time high. And you see, once their stress level is high, it's called cortisol also. Once it's released and there's no oxytocin being released to handle it, to reduce it, they say it affects her immune system. So they said more women are going to get cancer, which is happening. Because once your immune system is down, sicknesses will start coming. Cancer. So they will start desiring carbohydrates. So this means they will mostly be overweight. These are all facts that you can open your window and confirm that is happening in your around you. So more cancer, more sickness, more dying young, more adding weight. So a lot of them are unhappy with their lives. CNN put up something that they did. So this CNN, this is not me. I don't know CNN. I couldn't have bribed them. All right? This is not me. I couldn't have bribed CNN. And CNN, they are not Bible. They are not following Bible. So it's not me. It's not because people think any real science stuff, any real statistics stuff, we must always line up with Bible. The Bible is the most current book. See, the Bible is not catching up with society. It's society catching up with Bible. Too current. So CNN put out something. They will show you on the screen. They said stress levels for women in the workplace is getting at an all-time high. Stress level. They said about 40% or one in three women. One in three women. So that's a high number. One in every three women, they are just thinking about either leaving the workplace or stepping down their career so that they can have time for other things. This CNN, they will show you the link, you can search it. This was released 2 weeks ago, September 28th, that they put up this thing on CNN. So if it's not me, I couldn't have bribed them. September 2021, 2 weeks ago, that they put this up. I didn't need CNN survey to know this one. I can tell you this one from Bible. They say women are stressed. And many of them want to leave the workplace or step down their careers to have more time for what matters to them, which is family. I hope somebody's learning something. I told you last week, women are not meant to work that hard. The way women are working today is not how. Men, you should trust God that God will bless you so much that you can make your wife only work when she wants, how she works, and for the extent she wants. Women can work, they are capable, but at least let them have the luxury of working at their pace, at their time, and have time for other things that matter to them. Women were created to be family-oriented, so you can't take family from them. No matter the amount of money you give a woman, if you take family life from her, she will still be stressed. Women don't sleep these days because of the work. And you see, these things are so interesting. Because of men have testosterone, so when a man has worked and is stressed out, all he needs to do is to sit down or sleep. His testosterone will be replenished, he'll be good to go the next day. For women, it's different. Because they don't have anything slowing down the stress, no oxytocin from family life slowing down the stress, they say even when women sit down, this is where monitored by machines. Even when women and checking their thoughts, listen by machines. That even when women sit down, that their activity rate, their mental activity rate, even goes up. Their stress rate goes up; it doesn't go down. And men and women are so different that if a woman sits down doing nothing, if men sit down doing nothing, they check the activity rate, also showing nothing. He's blank. Men are capable of sitting down watching TV and not watching it and just be blank. It's how men recoup. I think it's part of next week's one I'll talk about. But women, they say, women sit down, do nothing. Her mind is still running up and down. They say, why? She's thinking of all the things she could be doing that she's not doing. She's sitting down here doing nothing. So they say her mind is still running. So most men wake up from sleep more tired than when they went to sleep. Because the stress has been hijacked already. It has been jacked up already. She feels she doesn't have a handle and a control of her life because her family life is not in place. So many things. So many things. So what's the end? Let me end. I've spent so much time. But I hope this blesses someone. I hope you're learning something. So what's the end of this matter? Simple, guys. Simple. Simple. Men need to invest more time in family life with their wives. Okay? So if you're a married man here, you must invest in family time. That releases feel-good hormones for your wife. It releases oxytocin for her. And oxytocin is good. If a woman feels good, this is what makes her want sex, makes her excited, makes her happy. She will find less fault. I can't say many top executives, and they always wonder, why my wife troubles them? I say, her love tank is empty. If a woman's love tank is empty, she gives everybody trouble. If her love tank is full, everything is nice in the world. Traffic is even beautiful. See, this girl is beautiful traffic. Look at the beautiful problem. If a woman is happy, everything is happy. If she's sad or stressed, everybody must be stressed. Those of you that have worked with me, you know what I'm talking about. If she's stressed, everybody must be stressed. So I tell them, look, Paul, invest into her emotional life. Some of the things might look small, but you see, you are adding those little two drops. It's keeping her emotional tank full. Then she won't stress you. So invest in family life. So go on date nights. Do it monthly or weekly or whatever you guys can afford to do. But you must cut out time from work. This work, hustle. You are not living a balanced life. Take your wife out on a date. I had to tell my people fixing my calendar. I said, fix a date night for me once every week. The person asked me for how long. I said, forever. Duh. Forever. Once a month, I was able to go on a date night with my wife. I've done one before and it was very good. Things got out of hand in the car. In the name of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. But it was very rewarding. Let me just say it that way. Do it regularly. Invest in her emotional life. She needs it. See, you are literally saving her life. Men, you must see this as a project. You are the savior of the body. You are literally saving her life by pouring into her emotional tank. Take her out on date nights. Then, apart from those date nights, don't wait for date nights. You see, men see doing things for your wife as, if I do big things, to count big way. No, women score everything 1-1. So date night is one mark. Buying her chocolate from work that you knew that is her favorite chocolate and you went somewhere to buy it, it's still one mark. So don't wait till you can do big things. Do small, small things. She gets back from work, spend some time with her. Notice her. She changes her hairstyle, notice. She gets back from work, ask her what's happening. She looks sad, ask her what's happening. Sit with her, give her attention. One day my wife was doing something, I was just looking at her like this. She said, what's happening? I said, I'm giving you attention. She said, I give you attention. I'm just looking at you. I knew that would make her laugh. You make her laugh. It's important you cheer her up. In Bible, they say when you marry, they will give you 1 year off. Deuteronomy 28, I can't remember. Deuteronomy. They say in Bible, when you marry, they will give you 1 year off so that you cheer up your wife. 1 year honeymoon. And the task is to cheer up your wife. So invest in her. Tell her she's beautiful. Compliments. Invest in the love life. It releases oxytocin for her. Makes her happy. Makes her want sex. They even sell the oxytocin drugs now for women that don't have high libido. They sell the drugs. Only that they say it has too many side effects. Because when she's high, after she comes down, if you can't carry her high, that she can even kill you. So she goes lower. She's now more depressed. But that's how good the feel-good hormone is. Makes her feel good. So invest in her. Compliments, show her love. If she's the kind of person that wants flowers, buy her small things, buy her perfumes, take her out, you know, whatever she likes, invest in it. Be kind, be nice, you know, be faithful, be cordial, be respectful, be kind, you know, all those things. Do family stuff. Go on family vacation for sure. Help her with anything stressing her. Invest in her. Pull her away from work. Anytime I can catch my wife to sleep, if she's trying to sleep, I take off her phones, take off her things. I text everybody, make sure nobody comes into the room. Because she works so hard, so anytime I catch her sleeping, anytime of the day, I try to allow her to sleep. Very important. Do stuff with her. For the women, what should you do? Your husband also needs respect and to feel he's important. So always compliment him about his work. Ask him about his work. Pray for him about his work. Help him with his career. Men get their esteem from work. Make him feel special. Respect him. Let him know you give him unconditional respect. And you see that it will help the family. Were you blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. And we're going to pray for people here today that need to give the life to Jesus. But let's rise to our feet wherever we are. Come on and give God thanks this morning.
We know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411. Or 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center, home of victorious people.